This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Allison Stewart in Washington. Neil Conan is away. Think about a kid with ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. And you might imagine a young boy disrupting his classroom, out of control, impulsive. Until recently, the majority of ADHD research has concentrated on those boys. But even though young men do struggle with ADHD, look beyond them and you'll see girls who are fighting the disorder, only they tend to be staring out a window, distracted and disconnected. These girls often are underdiagnosed and at a higher risk for depression, substance abuse, eating disorders, and trouble with their peers. One person who has been on the case is Steve Hinshaw, chair of the Department of Psychology at the University of California, Berkeley. For years, he has been following a large group of girls, now young women, who have this disorder. He will join us in a moment. But first, I want to talk to Jen in Kansas City, Missouri, who found out she has ADHD. Hi, Jen.
Hi there.
Hi. So tell me a little bit about how and when you found out.
I'm 31, and I just found out in May that I had ADHD. For my whole life, I remember having anxiety attacks when I was 9 and being unable to sleep at night, and started a master in social work program. And in the spring of this year, heard a presentation on ADHD and what the symptoms are, how the symptoms are different in girls than boys, and I was like, oh, that's my life.
A light bulb just went off. What kind of symptoms? What did you experience that you never connected with ADHD?
Well, for one, constant daydreaming. I thought that ADHD would have me more, jumping off the rafters and stuff. Like, I was a teacher for a while, and I saw that in boys all the time, and girls, but I didn't know that some of these other symptoms, like just being a space cadet, were symptoms of ADHD. Inability to sleep at night was a big thing for me. High amounts of stress. Being in a crowd and being unable to focus on the conversation, tracking a whole crowd of conversation. I always prefer to be in small groups.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever experience depression? I know some girls experience depression or seem symptomatic of depression.
Actually, yeah, I had my first bout of depression when I was about 16, and then subsequent to that had two very severe postpartum depressions. And I guess, like, that's something that I'm really interested in with your guest, is to ask what research is out there on postpartum depression related to ADHD. And should we be screening for ADHD among moms who are experiencing that?
It's a great question. I just wrote it down, and I'll make sure I pose it to our guest coming up. Jen, thank you so much for being so candid. We do appreciate it. If you have a story like Jen's, your very own story, if you're a woman or girl with ADHD or the parent of a girl struggling with it, give us a call. Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. The email address is talk@npr.org. You can join the conversation at our website as well. Go to npr.org and click on Talk of the Nation. Also want to point out that a little bit later on in the hour, we're going to talk about Joe Lieberman. He will keep his chairmanship in the Senate, but should Democrats forgive and forget. But right now, we do want to get to Stephen Hinshaw. He is with us from the studios of the Graduate School of Journalism at the University of California, Berkeley. He is the chair of the psychology department there and a leading researcher in girls and ADHD. Welcome to the program, Stephen.
That's great to be on. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. So can you describe a typical story that you might see with a girl with ADHD?
Well, the typical story is that well, there's been problems for a long time brewing, but of course it can't be ADHD. Only boys get that condition. Mm. Now, for some girls, the behaviors look pretty similar to the stereotypic boy. There's out-of-seat behavior and fidgeting. But often in girls, there isn't that overt behavior. There's a kind of spaciness we just heard about, inability to focus, doesn't seem to hear or listen to things, real problems organizing. And the typical girl like this suffers in silence for all too many years. No one's quite sure what it is. Is it just that she's not motivated or lazy or not bright, or is there a learning disability? middle school hits. Now, in some ways, all hell breaks loose because there's multiple teachers a day, many more things to organize or get disorganized. Now that we know that ADHD can and does exist in girls, there's more of a call to let's make the diagnosis, if it's done carefully, when appropriate, and see if we can give some treatment.
Is it because the ADHD presents itself differently in girls than in boys? Is that why so many go undiagnosed, so many girls?
Well, the first fact is that all of the disorders of childhood that are behavioral or emotional or psychiatric appear more in boys. This is true of autism or autistic disorder, conduct problems, many forms of learning disorder, ADHD. Boys are more vulnerable. The conditions that really start to rear their head in adolescence, anxiety, depression, eating disorders, that's when girls really take over in terms of prevalence. Hmm. So it is true that girls are less likely than boys to have ADHD. But what's even more true is that even when they have it, it's likely to get missed. It's likely to be thought of by teachers, parents, clinicians as, well, it's got to be something else. It's not ADHD. And as I mentioned a second ago, girls are more likely than boys to have what we call the inattentive form or type of ADHD, where there's not these overt fidgeting, restless symptoms, but the spacey, inattentive, disorganized behaviors that are more subtle to notice. Now, not all girls have that form of ADHD, but they're more likely than boys. So for a couple of reasons, they're much more likely to get undetected.
All right, Stephen, I'm going to ask you to listen in to our next caller. Her name is Gail, joining us from Charlotte, North Carolina. And you are a very interesting person to speak to, Gail, because you have both a boy and a girl with ADHD?
Correct.
All right. Can you compare and contrast their behaviors?
Well, I have the boy. My oldest is a boy.
Mm-hmm.
And he has pretty serious ADHD. He's got it all. He's got the inattention. He's got inability to sit still. He has a variety of other issues. But it delayed our diagnosis of our girl because we don't have a regular household. We have an ADHD household. Nobody's normal.
Hmm.
And so, you know, we noticed that our daughter was performing below her potential, but we couldn't quite figure out what was going on. And I'm wondering if that's sort of this idea that your caller spoke about of this not being diagnosed.
Stephen, what do you think?
Well, you've said a couple of important things here. ADHD runs in families. Unlike the stereotype, well, it's just bad parenting or parents who are lax, ADHD's genetic liability is higher than the genetic liability for schizophrenia. It's almost as high as the genetic liability for bipolar disorder or autism. So it runs in families and through biological relatedness.
Wow.
With that said, many parents of kids with ADHD have it themselves, certainly not all, but 30 to 40%, whether it's been diagnosed or not. And especially if there's a boy who's the stereotyped Dennis the Menace all over the place type of ADHD, a girl with more subtle problems in that kind of household, and because we just all know that girls really don't have ADHD, could get missed.
And Gail, has your daughter's, has her situation improved?
My God. When we moved to Charlotte a couple of years ago, she was testing below grade level, and she just recently had her reading and math comprehension test. And in math, she scored in the 98th percentile on the state test last spring. And in reading comprehension, she scored post-high school for vocabulary and reading comprehension.
Well, good on her. Gail, that's good news. Thank you so much for calling.
One question, I'll take it off the air.
Sure.
Is what should I expect in the future? I've got a sixth grader and a fourth grader. What kinds of stuff is going to happen in middle and high school?
Okay. Thanks, Gail. Doctor, what does happen?
Well, we've known for a long time now, 25, 30 years, that boys with ADHD, who are 99% of those studied, don't just grow out of this condition when they hit puberty. That's what we thought 35, 40 years ago. And it is true that the most flagrantly hyperactive symptoms do tend to abate in early adolescence. But the impulse control problems, the inattention in boys lead in some cases to delinquent behavior, to substance abuse, early drop out of school, continued academic and vocational problems. What we don't know very much at all yet is what are the long-term outcomes in girls, because there's only been literally a handful of longitudinal studies past childhood. And those studies, including ours here in Berkeley, some back on the East Coast, a couple in Europe, suggest that, A, girls can and do get ADHD, and B, when they do, in the adolescent years, as with all girls, there's a risk for anxiety, depression, and eating symptoms. Girls with ADHD even have more of that risk.
Why is that?
Well, it's something about puberty, and it's something about the expectations we have of all of our daughters and nieces, where many problems that have been dormant during childhood really erupt and emerge in adolescence, especially for girls. And ADHD may just increase the risk for that because these are girls who have been having problems before. The short answer is that we have not systematically followed enough girls yet past late adolescence or very early adulthood to know. But what we do know from the research on boys and girls long term is that there's no one single picture. Some kids with ADHD have real difficulties later on. Others do quite well. They're resilient kids. They're the ones who, despite the odds, pull it together academically, find a partner, find a good work setting. And the goal of us researchers and clinicians is to figure out what we can do early on to push kids into that pipeline rather than the failure experiences too many do have.
We're speaking with Stephen Hinshaw. He's chair of psychology department at the University of California in Berkeley. He's a leading researcher in girls and ADHD. I want to talk to you a little bit about some of the studies you've done, because you've actually followed girls over a long period. These times where these studies were done during summer camps. So stick around, because we do want to get to that. We also encourage you, if you're a woman or girl with ADHD or the parent of a girl struggling with the disorder, please give us a call. Our number here in Washington is 1-800-989-8255. Our email address is talk@npr.org. I'm Allison Stewart. It is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Allison Stewart in Washington, and we're talking about the treatment for girls with ADHD. New research suggests that there might be a difference in how the disorder plays out in boys versus girls. Now, if you want more information about ADHD, you'll find links to the National Institute of Mental Health at our blog, along with a list of common symptoms that girls struggling with the disorder might face. You can find that at npr.org/blogofthenation. If you're a woman or a girl with ADHD or the parent of a girl struggling with this, give us a call. The number here in Washington is 1-800-989-8255, and our email address is talk@npr.org. You can join the conversation at our website, npr.org, and click on Talk of the Nation. Vanessa is joining us from Portland, Oregon. Hi, Vanessa.
Hi, how are you?
I am doing well. Tell us your story.
Well, I was diagnosed with ADD in my late 20s, and I think one of the things that came to mind that I'd really like to hear talked about more is the stigmatization of ADHD and the misinformation and stereotyping there is out there, which I think keeps both boys and girls, but especially girls, from being diagnosed with the with ADHD, because it's such a negative stereotype and such a negative image people have of ADHD and being. Or the image that, oh, well, we all have ADHD. That's the other one I come across a lot, too, that's very discouraging.
Vanessa, let me ask you, of all the symptoms that we've been describing of girls having ADHD, did you have any of those symptoms, and did you think something else was going on with you?
I did have those symptoms, anxiety and depression. The thing of the teachers saying she's not living up to her potential. The doctor, the gentleman, Stephen, he brought up that there are some people that seem to kind of plow through it and keep going, and I did manage to get through college, but it was a huge weight lifted off my shoulder with the diagnosis. It was life-changing, and I think it's unfortunate, but it wasn't until my late 20s to receive the diagnosis. I think it would have been I would have lived a much different life if it had been if I'd been diagnosed in my childhood. But I'm still very grateful that at least I was in my 20s. So, because it's a huge difference in your life once you understand what it is that's going on, and it's not just that you don't know where you place your keys because there's something wrong with you morally. It's because there's something wrong with you chemically.
Vanessa, thank you so much for sharing your story. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. And I just hope that there's more commentary on how we can bring the realistic approach to what ADHD is and the good sides about it as well as the negative sides about it, so that people don't have this misunderstanding and are afraid to be associated with that themselves. I can call someone an alcoholic before I can tell them that I think they have ADHD. They take more offense to being told they have ADHD. I hope you guys address that a bit, too.
Okay, Vanessa, thank you very much. Stephen Hinshaw is still with us, chairman of UC Berkeley Psychology Department. You've been researching girls with ADHD. And one of the interesting things about the work, and great things about the work that you've been doing, is you've been doing it over a period of time. You started your research at summer camps. Tell us how that worked.
Well, for many years, I'd been researching kids, mainly boys, with all sorts of problems, often ADHD in summer camp settings. It's a great way to do research. You're not just in a lab or clinic. You're on the play yard. You're in the classroom. There's art. There's drama. You can observe behavior as it occurs. You can pull kids out for individual testing. Every year, 97 boys would apply for the camp and 3 girls. What are we going to do with those poor 3 girls, bring them in and get outnumbered, and there weren't enough to really do valid research until my team and I had the bright idea back in the mid-90s to ask NIMH for funding to study girls exclusively with ADHD, because hardly anyone had done that before. So to make a long story short, we got a big sample of girls with ADHD, a control group of their peers from the same neighborhood, same age, same race, participating in the summer camps that we conducted, so we could really learn a lot about their behavior. And then as we told the families at the beginning of those programs, if we get our funding, we'll see you in 5 years and we'll see you in 10 years, because we would like to begin a lifetime study of your daughters. And we've been able to publish findings and follow the girls up in adolescence 5 years later and are just completing our 10-year follow-up now. And we've learned lots of interesting things.
What is the one thing that you learned that you just didn't expect?
Well, we learned a whole lot of things. The unexpected thing, we really didn't know until our follow-up. A lot of expected and difficult things we learned early on were girls can and do have ADHD, and when they do, there's problems across academics, other disorders they have, peer relationships, services they need. So it was a sad but true finding we found. What really struck us at this adolescent follow-up, we got almost 93% of them to come back, which is a hard thing to do in California with the mobility, but the girls and families had liked our programs, wanted to come back and help the research. And we found that girls with ADHD not only persisted with a lot of the problems they had, even though they were a lot less hyperactive than they were as kids, but their problems expanded into other areas, like anxiety and depression, the typical female adolescent type problems, like symptoms of eating disorder. As we're doing our 10-year follow-up now, serious behavioral and emotional problems, sexual problems, early dropout of school. Sadly, this is more the case for the ADHD sample than the comparison sample. Yet we see signs everywhere of health and strength and resilience as girls struggle with the disorder. And this is what Vanessa really brought up, with a disorder that's not really recognized or acknowledged in girls. It's stigmatized. Sure, I've got ADHD too. I can't focus. Well, it's only an American diagnosis. It doesn't exist anywhere else in the world. We're just intolerant of kids who fidget and squirm. And in fact, ADHD exists in every culture where there's compulsory education. ADHD causes big problems later in life unless we systematically get treatments started and maintained. So It's one thing to get the diagnosis, which takes a lot of careful work, and it's another thing to accept it and to keep up with treatment despite the odds because, as Vanessa said, who wants to be known as having this disorder when maybe it's a fake disorder in the first place? It is hard to know who does have ADHD and who doesn't. We have to assess it carefully. But when it exists, there are real problems.
Our next caller probably is listening intently to your last answer. Jennifer in Lancaster, South Carolina, you resisted your daughter's diagnosis.
Yes, and I've heard so much that resonates with me. I resisted. Oh, first of all, thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I resisted getting a diagnosis for her, even though I suspected she had ADHD, mostly for the reasons that we've talked about, that that there is a stigma, that it's a bogus problem, that the real problem is discipline. And I resisted this even though I knew from my own experience, you know, how valuable intervention could be because I was diagnosed in my, well, I guess I was close to 40, as bipolar. And, you know, even knowing what kind of intervention could help with these problems, I was still resistant. And we finally had her evaluated and diagnosed when she was about 7. My daughter is 10 now. And the medication that was prescribed for her was very helpful, but her teachers still would mention to me that they felt she was, even though she was testing at or above grade level in almost all subjects, she was very bright, they felt that she was missing some things and that as time went on, she'd have more difficulty. We did end up taking her out of school last year. I'm homeschooling her now. And what has been interesting to me in having to educate her myself is I've discovered certain cognitive problems, which maybe Dr. Hinshaw can speak to, that I think are often misinterpreted as behavioral problems, as not paying attention or as being defiant. My daughter has significant trouble with, I think, what they call sequencing, which is breaking down problems into steps and to evaluate them with steps and to analyze problems. And that single problem has consequences in everything she learns. I recently realized that she wasn't being defiant and not cleaning up her room. Well, she was, but that she didn't know how to hang up clothes on a hanger. And she's 10, and I had to sit down with her and walk her through the steps. And now it's wonderful. I mean, in 10 minutes, she grasped something that apparently she had never grasped before. And I wonder if Dr. Hinshaw could speak to that, to these cognitive problems that are not really addressed and are often addressed as behavioral problems. But I also just wanted to say that her diagnosis led to me being diagnosed as ADD, and now I'm receiving treatment for that, and that has made a huge difference for me as well. And ADHD is difficult to treat in combination with bipolar because the ADD medications often will trigger mania, but I have been, you know, very grateful to receive good treatment for that, and I'm doing very well, and my daughter is doing very well as well. But I'll take my answers
off.
Sure.
Good luck to your family.
Thank you.
Stephen, any thoughts on what she had to say? Jennifer had to say?
A lot of thoughts about what this caller had to say. It's really fascinating. And so just to go in sequence, because sequencing was one of the problems that was mentioned.
Yeah, that's a very interesting point she was making.
Right. ADHD is a behavioral low-tech diagnosis. All of the brain scans and computer tests in the world don't tell us what parents and teachers and clinical observers tell us, that beyond what the problems of kids that age have, way beyond. There's a subgroup who really do have difficulties with attention and impulse control and activity level. Underlying many of those kids' problems are sometimes subtle and hard to see cognitive, or what we'd call neuropsychological or executive functioning deficits. Planning, correcting errors, sequencing. Not all kids with ADHD have such neuropsychological problems, but at least half do. ADHD, as I'm sure we'll discover in the next decade or two, isn't just one thing. It's probably three or four or five different syndromes that all look alike. These problems at a cognitive level can be addressed at the same time that we provide rewards and more structure. Is it that my kid is just being defiant and I've got to up the ante and be more consistent, or is it in part a skill deficit? In this caller's case, not being able to do the steps of hanging up clothes. And taking both a skill deficit view. Let's see what we can teach. Maybe there are some skills and tasks that my child, my student can't do well, and a structured behavioral approach. Those are very helpful strategies. They can be as helpful as medication in many cases. And for most kids with ADHD, boys and girls, we find the maximum benefit when we combine the best of medication practices with the best of these behavioral, family, and school interventions.
I want to take off my host and journalist hat for a moment and put on my concerned citizen hat. And when we were researching the story and talking about the story, I found myself just a little bit angry that there wasn't more research about girls, and that there are all these young women and girls out there struggling with this problem, and there hasn't been a whole lot of attention paid to it. What's going to change that?
Well, I think this is a problem that has been noticed way beyond ADHD for some time now, maybe not long enough. Back in the early 90s, as I get research grants from the National Institutes of Health and press releases were put out and alerts to investigators, if you're studying heart disease, you've got to include females in your sample as well as males. Females get afflicted by cardiovascular illness, but most of the research was on men. So we do have a sex or gender bias in a lot of areas of research. Now, as I mentioned at the outset, for the problems, behavioral and emotional problems of childhood, boys are more at risk than girls, maybe 3-1 for ADHD, maybe 4-1 for autism. But the research was being done at 10-1 or 20-1 or 50-1. We need to raise our consciousness. We need to realize that many of these conditions, both biomedical and psychiatric, are pretty much equal opportunity across races and ethnic groups, across the sexes, and we need to have researchers and clinicians and the citizenry realize and demand that attention is paid clinically and in terms of basic research so that we don't neglect a group really in need of treatment because of our stereotype and our stigma that, well, it can't really exist in this population like girls.
We're speaking with Stephen Hinshaw, chairman of the UC Berkeley Psychology Department, about girls and ADHD. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Allison Stewart, joined by Stephen Hinshaw, chairman of the UC Berkeley Psychology Department. We're talking about girls and ADHD. I do want to get to one more caller, if we could. Let's talk to Liz in Portland, Oregon. How old are you, Liz?
Hello, I'm 20.
Okay, and you have ADHD?
ADHD, high-functioning autism, known as Asperger's, and I think I may have some anemia and subclinical OCD even. I can't afford a doctor right now.
So when did you first realize you had ADHD, or did somebody tell you, when somebody told you you had ADHD?
When I was told. It was just kind of horrible for me because I was very confused and I felt like I had done something wrong. I was pulled out of class and I had to talk to a lot of strange people and do a lot of, I thought it's stupid things, just writing down, drawing pictures and whatnot. And afterward, I felt like I was being punished and talked down to.
How has your life changed since you've been diagnosed?
Well, with ADHD, I just got a lot of shunned, I guess. People wouldn't give me as much attention or didn't think I was worth much. When I was diagnosed with Asperger's syndrome, they told me I'd never really leave my mom's house. I'd never really accomplish anything because I was just special in my own way. Mm. Since then, I've just became kind of, I guess, enraged. I had that attitude, like, oh, I'll show them. Now I'm 20 years old. I pay for my own apartment. I'm the senior employee at the business I work at, and life's okay, but I'm always really depressed.
Well, we wish you all the best, and all good things for you. Liz in Portland, thanks for calling. Stephen, we just have a little bit of time left. One of the things that's sort of interesting or intriguing about this is that many girls with ADHD find ways to cope, and perhaps that's one of the reasons it goes undiagnosed. They figure out how to finish that report at the last minute. Can you give people one or two or three things to look out for if they're listening to this program, they're thinking, I wonder if my daughter or my granddaughter has this?
Well, the first thing I would say is, has the problem been persistent for some time? Is it causing difficulties at school and at home? If so, you may need to go to websites or talk to self-help groups in your area. Find a clinician in your area who's an expert in this condition. There's still many clinicians out there who think stereotypically ADHD really can't exist. Number two, don't believe a diagnosis that's made in 10 minutes in a pediatrician's office or in a social work office or a psychiatrist's office. It's going to take
some time,
days and weeks to get information to know that this really is a condition worthy of treatment. And third, stay with treatments. It may take several different tries of medication. It may take a really consistent behavioral program and treatment for the learning and cognitive problems before you really know you've gone someplace.
Steve Hinshaw, you've given us great information today. Chairman of the Psychology Department at UC Berkeley, thank you so much.
Thanks so much, too.
I'm Allison Stewart. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News.